living in the moment. Well, you really don't have any choice on that one. You're going to live in the moment. And you're going to deal in each moment of your life with whatever comes your way. Now, you may not want to, but you're going to have to, because there's another moment waiting for you. And if there isn't, you will have done your best on the moment that God has given you. Each period of our life is moment to moment. When you leave this world, you'll leave in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. When Jesus comes back for his church, he will appear in a moment, the scripture says, in the twinkling of an eye. Just in a flash, it's all going to happen. And you will find yourself face to face with life that God has given you, and that life being turned over to God himself. The answers, what did you do with your life, won't matter at that point. What you thought you wanted to do but you never did will never be done. Because we were given a moment throughout our life. The scripture says many moments, many opportunities to make life right. It's up to you. God gave me the freedom and you the freedom to choose. Larry, you can worship me, you can serve me. Well, Larry, I've called you to preach, you can preach my word, or you don't have to. I give you the choice. Doesn't control God's love. See, God's going to love me no matter. God loved me. I take that one to the bank of God. Nobody steals from there. God loves me. And you know the exciting part, Brother Randy? He loved me just like I am. I don't have to change. But he gives me the ability to change. He gives me the opportunity to change. He's talked about me and you in heaven. You're no surprise to God. What you do with your life is no surprise. But God knows you. Here's the big question for each of us. How much about God do we know? How much of that love that he offers us do we accept? God won't make us accept his love. He sent his only begotten son, but he won't make us accept him as Lord and Savior. But his gift is, I give you the freedom, I give you the right, I give you the opportunity to say, I believe, and when you say that, you belong to me. That's God's promise. Merry Christmas. The scripture tells me that before time existed, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit was talking together about each one of us. This is before time. God knew when I would be born. He knew there's going to be some people to try to keep me from being born. But it didn't work. You all are stuck with me. God was in control. He saw your life before you even knew anything about life. He saw the direction you were going to go. And do you know what they were talking about? Jesus coming to make sure that you and I, the most precious of God's creation, the human race, would have an opportunity to shout loud and clear from all the rooftops, "I know Jesus, I'm saved. I am heaven bound." And talking of my dear friend yesterday, she asked me a question, why? It's a question I get quite often and have over my ministry. Why now? Why, when so many other things are going wrong, when I could be there to be helping others, why now? It's okay to ask those questions. And I always tell other pastors, younger ones especially, it's okay when you don't have an answer. You see, the why to life and about life is in the heart of God. Now, I can promise you this. When I get to heaven and you get to heaven, when all of this time period of aches and pains and hurt and trauma here on planet Earth are over and we're together, you'll get the answer. Oh, yes, it's going to be awesome. And it was planned. Listen to me. Your welcome into heaven was planned before time began. So if you count looking at how old you might be, well, if you count at the period when God knew you were going to exist, you're old. I mean, folks, we got some time on us. Because God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You say, "Will you explain that to me? Are there three God?" No, there's one God. That's how God reveals himself to us. Jesus said, "When you've seen me," Jesus, God incarnate, God in physical form, Jesus said, "When you've seen me, then you've seen the Father." And the Holy Spirit comes into us and connects it all. I came under conviction by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicted me that something's wrong with you, Larry Pete. Now, I'd been told that most of my life, but something's wrong with you, Larry Pete. And I said, "I believe in Jesus." And as a young boy, believing in Jesus, Jesus said, "Come on." But it planned my whole life before time began. And in that planning stage, God knew where you'd be today. God knew where your heart would be today. And God would say, "One more chance. Here's your opportunity. Say yes to my Son. And you've said yes to eternal life. Accept him as Lord and Savior, because this is a story of what my Son did." And there should be joy shouted throughout the universe. All the heavens rejoice. All the inanimate objects praise God. Even the dirt of the ground. Praise God. But God's most favored of creation are found cursing God so often. "Why did God take this one from me? Why did God take that one from me? Why did God let this happen or let that happen?" What's going on in your life you caused to happen? You got me? You're the cause of the hurt and the pain. And God is the remedy. He sent Jesus. And he said, "You know, when my Son arrives, Well, it's going to be unspeakable. There are no words that can be said about the greatness of the arrival of my son. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. Good song there somewhere, Randy. Full of glory. Joy to the world. The candle of joy that was lit this morning is that pink candle, representing God's first Christmas gift. I'm going to give you something, says God. I'm going to give you my best. The best that I have. I'm going to give you my son. I'm going to stand back and I'm going to witness what the human race does to my son. But Merry Christmas. I give him. Because I love you. I give him because I care about you. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. It was unspeakable. Thanks be to God for his gift that is too wonderful for words. The old English, the King James, would say unspeakable. Too wonderful for words. I bring and give to you my only begotten Son. And God had his angels watching. God had the stars on duty. Everything was going to be lit for his son. Everything was going to be ready to receive the Savior of the world. Well, surely the kings will be there, for they know the prophecy. Surely all the religious leaders will flock to be present where the Son of God is to be born. Surely it will work that way. But none were to show up. And there was a bright star that was going to be shining. And that star came in the middle of a pasture for sheep. And shepherds, the most despised of all people during this time. Remember, I told you, they weren't even allowed to go in. They couldn't even go to church. Their word could not be taken in a court of law. That's how low they were counted in this society. Who does God take the message to? The lowest of the low. He's going to tell them a story that it doesn't matter your position in life. It doesn't matter whether a man likes you or not. It doesn't matter whether a man can handle the odor of sheep. Your Savior is coming for you. I am offering you an opportunity, says God, to become a child of a king. All the shepherds were excited. Great joy was there. So unspeakable. The Messiah has come. They knew the story. They knew the story of the prophets. Good news with great joy. Listen to Luke 2, verse 10. In speaking to the angels. But the angels said to them, do not be afraid. It's a tad frightening when a star is so bright that it brings you to your knees in the middle of a field. A tad frightening. And then to add to that, there's an angel popping back and forth there. That'll get your attention every time. But as they looked and as they listened, the angel says, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news." Did you know what the gospel of Jesus Christ is called? Good news. Do you know that it had always been, before time began, that the best news that could ever be given would be your eternal life secured, to get to live together in peace and joy and harmony in Christ? Jesus says, "I'm coming, and he knew my name before I could probably ever spell it." You see, it didn't matter how poor me or you were going to be the time we were born. When we said yes to Jesus, we automatically inherited a king's ransom. We automatically inherited a peace that's so great you can't understand it. We automatically inherited the knowledge of our individual responsibility of life. I am my brother's keeper. I am to express my love to my fellow man. And I am to explain to them that that love comes from one who cared enough to send his only begotten Son. And all was set. The plan was ready. Shepherds, I want you to know, there's a couple coming to town. You'll find them in a manger, where they have laid a baby, which belongs to me. He's my son. But the human element was a part of all of this. A lot, and I love to teach, so learn this one. Mary was probably 13 to 14 year old at the time she had baby Jesus. She became pregnant with Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. But Joseph, which would be the earthly caretaker, father of Jesus, Joseph was a man that took the full heat for the customs of that day. Because Mary showed herself as being with child before being married properly to Joseph, she would be discounted. And if Joseph allowed it to be, she could have been stoned to death. Yet Joseph, or if you knew the background of that, Joseph took the hit. He did not want her embarrassed. The angel had already told Joseph, that's the Son of God. So Joseph took Mary with him. That's why they were on the trip. Remember, they're going to go pay their taxes. Remember? But here's the thing that you may not know. In that era, during the Roman age there, a woman did not have to travel for the census, only the man. But Joseph took her with him. Here's something else you may not have known, that the majority of childbirths, during this period of time, actually 50% plus, ended in death. So one thing you would not do was to put the one you love who is with child on a donkey on a trip that far and to take that chance. But Joseph, a man called by God to watch after God's son, wanted to make sure all was proper and that all the protection was given. He put her on that donkey and he stayed with her. So therefore, Joseph took the blame for her being pregnant out of wedlock. It was a big deal in those days. But the life expectancy at this time period for Mary or Joseph would have been 25 to 30 years old. Think of that. At this period of time in the Roman Empire, life expectancy was 25 to 30 years old. Joseph goes. Joseph, a human being just like us, touched by God. An angel had given him the word. Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child in her is of the Holy Spirit, a gift, the first Christmas gift. Joseph, you do your thing. You be Joseph, and I'll see you in a little bit. And we see how God brought man and his spirit together. And as the spirit touched the heart of man, man knew to protect the child. Man knew what was of God and what was not. When did all of this happen? Happened in God's time. When will it happen to you? When you meet God face to face, it'll happen in God's time, not man's time. Look in Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. On your outline, you will see, when did it happen? God's time. But in verse 4, but when the fullness of the time came. Anytime you see that in Scripture, that's God's time. When the fullness, that's God's time. Folks, you are going to be ready one way or the other when it's God's time. When that alarm goes off to call me or you on home, you will go as you are. How are you dressed? Are you dressed to receive the hand of God taking you home? How could I be dressed in who I believe in? You see, when God looks at me, are you Christian? He sees the blood. He sees the cleansing blood. All next year messages are going to focus on the blood. There's power in that blood, brother. And there's a song there, too. There's power in that blood. Wonder-working power. He sees the blood. That blood is the blood of his only begotten Son. When I said yes to Jesus, I became protected. All hurt, pain, cancers, all this other garbage, I'll take just like you do. But when it comes down to it, the going home time, I'm dressed. My question is, are you? Have you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life? When you have, you and I will be together throughout eternity. with the ultimate of gifts. You know what that ultimate gift is? Love of God. He showed us his son in God's time. Who did he show? It was his son. Verse, second part of verse 4, God sent forth his son. How? By human birth. Because God was determined to feel your pain, to know your hurt, to be able to express his love. He's not a God that stands at a distance. He's a God that feels. He's a God that has lived your life, your pain. And he wanted to be able to relate. I know how you hurt, says Jesus. That human birth, born of a woman, born under the law. There it is. Just like you. Why? For us to be redeemed as sons. Redemption in Bible, to be redeemed, means to buy from slavery. That's what the term means, to buy from slavery. The slave to sin, the slave to this world, the slave to life, the slave to yourself. Verse 5, so that he might redeem those who were under the law. Jesus fulfilled the law for us because we couldn't. That we might receive the adoption as sons. I'm adopted. Son of God. What a powerful first gift. My eternal life is a free gift. Didn't earn it. Didn't deserve it. It's so unspeakable that God would set a rule in order. You know what that rule is? Love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved. That was the key. That is the key. And he received me. I can't go yet. I have other work to do. But when it's over, I'll tell you, as I told my dear friend yesterday, if it happens that fast, I'll see you later anyway, and it won't be very long. I know that. I'm excited, though. I get to make friends right here on planet Earth in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That friend could leave the body that God had given him. That friend won't leave me behind for very long. Because in the course of God's time, we remain friends throughout eternity. And God said to us, Merry Christmas, shepherds. I know how they despise you, shepherds. Give them the word, the Lord has come. Let them know something else. You have seen him firsthand. And that's exactly what they did. And then you know what happened? They started coming out to see what they had heard. But then they had to put this one in. Now we believe because we have seen with our own eyes, we don't have to trust these shepherds. That human condition is a mess, isn't it? So God brought us together. He did not bring us together, my friends, to ever allow us to separate. He brought us together to keep us this way. I'm the child of a king. Whatever happens right here can never change that. When you said yes to Jesus, you got me as a brother throughout eternity. Live with it. Start loving me now. If you haven't started loving me, because you're going to have to love me in heaven. You and I are a gift to each other. Merry Christmas. That's the Word of God. And it doesn't get better than the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, how we praise your name and give you thanks for all that we have or ever hope to have. For the trials and tribulations of life, Father, I pray that you give strength to those that are going through those trials, and encouragement and hope that tomorrow will be a better day, and that we only need to look to you. Let your will be done, for we ask it in Jesus' name.